Hello, it is 16 minutes past 10 and it's Afric in for Jennifer Zamparelli. Now, he's sitting in front of me. I've absolutely no idea who my next guest is. It is our mystery guest. He's sitting in front of me right now. Can you explain yourself? Tell me who you are. What's your name? Describe what you do.
My name is Paul Foley and I've just been elected as the Vatican regulator for East Galway.
We're delighted to have you on, Paul. Thanks so much for coming
in. It's my pleasure.
I know you're busy at the moment.
It's pretty funky in here, isn't it? There's a kind of a funky vibe.
It certainly is.
I'm up to me, as the mother used to say, I'm up to me oxters in funk.
You absolutely are. Tommy Tiernan, good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic, thank
you. Good.
Afric is one of my favourite names.
Is it really?
Yes, I'm always, how did your, like, who thought of it? Like, and what are your siblings called?
My siblings are called Shane.
Europe. And
My siblings are called Shane and Rory. Yeah. So my mum and dad, it's a name from the north. My mum and dad both had an Afric on each side of their family. And apparently she was an abbess in Newton Ards.
Has it anything to do with Africa?
No, nothing. It means pleasant. So you can
there's nothing at all to do with Africa.
No,
there's no kind
nothing.
Of...
It's old Irish. So it doesn't mean anything to do with Africa. It doesn't stop Toto from being my theme tune though. Do you know that kind of way?
That's like having a brother called America and then trying to convince people that it's an old Irish phrase.
That's exactly right. Come here, I want to talk to you because you must be recognised literally everywhere you go at the moment. How is that treating you?
I really like it during the day.
Yeah. When people are sober.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I love when people burst out of their lives and walk into mine.
Yes.
I really enjoy that. I find it a bit stressful at night when I want to be alone
in a
bar with rosary beads and whiskey. And
yes.
I'm just staring at the wall, weeping. For the bad karma that's travelling towards me. Yeah, but during the day, it is great. It's because it's all conversation based and it's all, you get to touch people. It's very hard to touch strangers.
It is.
You know, you almost have to, but because...
Sometimes not advisable.
Against the law.
Exactly. Frowned upon, yeah.
But I was in a chemist yesterday in Castle Blaney in County Monaghan.
Yeah.
And I walked in and it was oh my God, look who it is. Look who's after, like a chemist, like to hell with client confidentiality. Like,
doesn't matter.
Oh, look who it is. After, and women were crawling out from every aisle getting their photograph taken, squeezed. Women were coming in off the street. What's going on in there?
That's brilliant.
And then they're all kind of squeezing up against me in photo after photo after photo after photo and laughing and their arms around me and the softness of middle-aged women's bodies. Just, I was held.
You were held.
I was held between excesses and it was just, it was delicious. And
what?
then the pharmacist says, what can we get you? And I says, I have COVID.
To clear out around you.
Should we all have it now?
Yeah,
no, but I really enjoy it.
Good.
The people coming up to me.
Because it can be, I'd say, like for some people, I'd say disconcerting and kind of like, you know, and some people wouldn't enjoy it. But you're obviously the type of person to just...
There'd be now and again where I'd be in the car driving somewhere. I wouldn't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have a baseball cap here and I'd pull it
down. I noticed that very
pull
good.
It down low.
Yes.
But
yes.
it never works.
So the beard gives you beard
something
gives away.
Something
now.
Gives me away. I mean, I remember pulling into, there's a petrol station. Aren't I great for the places? There's a petrol station on the road on the far side of Adair. Mm. After you've been through the traffic jam and you're heading. I can't remember. Is it Newtown, Kent? Newtown, somewhere's after?
Newtown Mount Kennedy.
Or, no, Newtown. No, we don't. Someone will know.
Someone will know. Text in.
There's a garage there on the left area. And I didn't want to talk to anybody. And I had the cap down low and I filled the car full of juice. And I did it. This fella says, you're in disguise today, Tommy. So it's just.
Rumbled.
I love it.
Yeah,
really,
good.
I love it.
Good. And so, like, you're, I think it's fair to say, prolific. Right. So interviewer, documentary maker, podcaster, actor, comedian, a dad as well.
And a husband.
And But people, and a husband, of course, people ask this of women mainly. But what do you think about the term having it all? Because I think that might be what you're doing.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this what it feels like?
Is that what it feels like? What do you think about that? Is it possible to have it all, would you say?
I think in some strange way, I am aware on some level that now is a time of bounty.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's a few things that I've been doing that have gone well, and the kind of the rewards of that are flowing.
Yeah.
So part of me is aware of that, but it's almost like an out of body awareness, because my physical inclination is always to be working. So sometimes I do stuff and people aren't crazy for it. I remember years ago doing these improvised shows that people found quite difficult. So, and I had an outside awareness that now was a time of lessness.
Right. Yes.
But
yes.
It didn't stop me doing the work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you keep going. So now I am aware now that a few things, but I don't lean on that. I don't take a bath in it. Mm-hmm. I just keep going with the work.
Yeah.
So the next bit of work now would be, say, finishing off this tour.
Yeah.
And then starting to write the next tour.
Yeah.
So it's all about... So
that's what drives you.
Yeah. So this tour finishes and I think it's the 15th of June.
That's
what
I have in front of me.
In the marquee.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'll probably start work on the next one on the 18th.
Really? You take a little weekend for yourself. You're dead right.
So it's to keep going.
Is it easy to do it when you're do as much as you're doing, when you're doing the things that you love?
I've realised also as well that not to look towards my work for happiness.
Yeah.
And almost to try and cultivate a feeling of, I wonder what the day will bring.
Yeah.
And rather than, I wish I was happier at work.
Mm-hmm.
So work is only part of the day.
Yes.
And that's the kind of vibe I'm in at the minute, of where let's just... each day is a new experience. Each day has... And stop trying to grab hold of the day and shape it. Rather just kind of sit back and allow it. So that's the vibe I'm in at the minute, really.
Is that always a vibe you were in?
No,
or did you try to control it more, I guess?
Totally, yeah. But you're going to, you know... restlessness would be part of my DNA as well.
Yeah.
So... No, you're always in different phases, and you know, I'm meditating a lot these days, and I'm finding that so meditating is basically just being lonely
for a predetermined amount of time.
Yeah, where's me lonely button?
Yeah.
And so you just stare at a wall for half an hour, and what I've noticed is that
I've been doing that for free. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's I've noticed that it kind of has an effect down the line that you can't predict.
Okay.
So you're doing it for a couple of months, and then you're noticing, geez, I'm a bit more, I'm a bit hornier than I used to, whatever. I'm a bit more relaxed, or whatever the thing is, you know.
Yeah.
And you're not doing it in order to try to become relaxed. You're doing it for the sake of doing it.
Okay.
And it has rewards down the line, which I'm benefiting from.
That's brilliant.
So, but it absolutely, I've been wildly egocentric and greedy and ambitious. And I've been depressed and angry and felt as if the world was on my shoulders. I've been turned upside down a few times as well by stuff that's happened in work. And kind of... gone through strange and very, very unpleasant stresses. So it's not, those things will probably come again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I'm fairly likely now to screw it up another few times and to make bad decisions. But you just, I guess you keep rolling is the thing. Keep
rolling. I ask you about, you did the series, The Epic West.
Yes.
God, it was gorgeous.
Mm.
It was... So we were talking earlier in the week on the show about whether people are, you know, country people or city people or whatever, and whether they could see themselves sort of changing their lives to either move from the country to the city or vice versa. And you did that series, and you're from Navan. Where does your heart lie? Is your heart in the West?
I think so.
Yeah.
I love the fact that I'm surrounded by a very unpredictable landscape.
Yeah.
And I get depressed in I get depressed when there's manners put on the countryside.
Yes.
So I'd often be sad driving through Kildare or someplace.
Where it's beaten back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where the land is entirely utilitarian.
Yeah.
It's been put to use. Now, you can't do that to Connemara.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put manners on it. So
no.
And I love the ocean. I love Galway Bay. Mm-hmm. I love the changeability of the weather in Galway. Mm-hmm. I love the changeability of the water. And I guess I just, it's kind of the weather in Galway has ADHD. So I think I have a touch of it as well. So
yeah.
we complement one another.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I also feel tremendously at home on stage.
Mm.
And there's something about that space that is both comfortable and charged for me.
Mm.
I have this little carpet that I stand on. And it's like the carpet of my spiritual sitting room.
Wow.
You know, and I stand on it when I'm doing shows. And the part of me, I feel at home in my home as well. I feel, you know, with my wife and my family.
Yeah.
And I feel kind of, I feel loved and loving there.
Yeah.
But I also feel at home on stage. And it doesn't matter where the stage is. It could be, you know, Castle Blaney or California. I feel there's something about the lights and the warmth and the attention.
Does something click in for you? Is that how would you describe the feeling?
I don't know if it clicks in. I just feel as if it's like when a pint settles.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of, and you take that first glug of it.
Yeah.
I go.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's the way I feel on stage.
I want to talk to you as well about Derry Girls, which ended last year, and it's one of those comedies I think that's going to live on very much, and it's going to be rewatched again and again. But you also played Father Kevin in Father Ted. Did you know in advance both of those shows would be as iconic they would come?
Yeah, so
become.
I was in the very last episode of Ted.
Yes. Yes.
So that was established and legendary.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So that was just.
It got kind of iconic status very.
It was huge.
Very
so
quickly. Yeah.
There was no.
Yeah.
That was
wondering.
Just, yeah, for me that was just the. It would be like finding yourself having a pint in the Rover's Return.
Yes.
In Coronation Street. You know, or down the old Vic.
Yes.
You know, so being in the sitting room.
This is established.
And then. And you're looking over here, that's Jack.
That's bad.
And then you're looking at your own shoes and you're going, Jesus, am I in the same room as Mrs. Doyle?
Yeah.
But with Derry Girls, there was no guarantee with that. So you go on an instinct. So the first instinct is, this is a funny script.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, that's the first thing.
Yeah.
So then you go.
In front of you, yeah.
Okay, let's go for this.
Uh-huh.
And I had always suspected that it would be found funny by people in the north.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
I thought possibly in the south people would get into it. But I had no idea that people in Hull, Melbourne and, you know, Colorado would find it funny. And again, that's like the, you know, that's like the thing I was talking about earlier on when you have this outside awareness that you're in a time of bounty. The success of Derry Girls really has had no effect on me at all. It has. It's almost nothing to. Because I'm up.
Sure.
The character is kind of. He's not in it all the time.
Sure.
So I don't really feel as if. It didn't feel like winning anything.
I understand what you're saying.
Do you know what I mean? It just kind of felt okay.
It's very much about the girls.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think. I don't know. It's just that family and that. It's just.
Like, I'll tell you a strange thing that happened to
me.
And the thing about, even when you're with a pretend family,
Yeah.
It is still a type of family.
Yeah.
And there is a definite part of my imagination that is that father in that house with those people. And I remember one time I was gigging up in Derry after we'd shot the series, you know, and I was walking around and it was about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I said to myself, I was following schoolgirls. Right? I was walking behind these bunch of schoolgirls.
Yeah.
And I was kind of doing it unconsciously. I was kind of following them. Like, and then I said, what am I at?
Yeah.
I had to stop and go, what the?
Yeah.
And I realised was that I missed my television family.
Gosh.
And a part of what I was doing. I mean, that's what I told the police anyway. Yeah. but that I missed, you know, so, and I know that I do miss my television family.
That's really interesting.
I do miss them.
Because I was, the last episode of Succession was on during the week, and that has very much been the feeling as well, is that they felt themselves kind of a dysfunctional family.
Totally.
It's of course, in a way, you know. I want to talk to you about your show as well. So the show's called Tomfoolery, and you're live at the Marquee this time, but you've toured the absolute length and breadth of the country. Does it matter to you? Do you find the smaller venues harder? Do you find them easier? Does it matter to you? Do you find them the same compared to a huge venue, you know?
So the smaller rooms we've played would be like the Spirit Store.
Yes,
in Dundalk.
Exactly.
And we've done Connolly's of Lepp and DeBarra's in Clonakilty.
Yeah.
It's the mix of them that encourages the spirit.
Yeah.
So it's the mix of going. You do the Mullingar Park Hotel and there's 1,100 people there looking at you. And then the following night, you're in front of 120 in Athlone or something. It's the mix of it.
Yeah.
And it's amazing the way different things, like, so say with your work here in this studio, and you might find that when you're working here, that your imagination and your wordplay has a particular avenue that would change completely if you were in a different studio.
That's very true. That's very true.
You know what I mean? Or if the studio was redecorated or something.
Yes. If someone, as we said, gets the J cloth out over the next couple of weeks, gives it a polish.
So it's really incredible how that affects. So my imagination is affected by the size of the room.
That's interesting.
So I know that in the Spirit Store in Dundalk, I am more creative.
Wow.
Than I am in a massive room. But I know that in a massive room, there's more adrenaline going through me.
Yeah.
So it's that strange thing of it's like making love to different people.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be making love to somebody for ages and you think, well, that's just my style. And then you make love to somebody else and you go, I didn't know I'd like that.
His whole new world's opening just up here.
Literally. So I think that's what the different size rooms do to you.
I'm really interested as well, obviously, your RTÉ show, the Tommy Tiernan show, and the format is just brilliant. And I remember working on your show when it was in the Sugar Club, when it was
the radio.
When it was on 2FM. And I'd love to know what you learn about human nature from interviewing so many people. Are you better at reading people, do you think, or getting a better first impression, or
I've forgotten. I've forgotten. I don't really. I'm not really listening to them anyway. I have a little feed in me ear going.
Yeah, perfect.
Ask them about the divorce. I don't. I've never watched the show.
Have you not?
And I'm just now becoming aware of the size of the experience. And I don't mean the size. I think what I mean is that the experience of sitting with all those people and having those such intense conversations with them and such open chats and funny but very revealing and honest, that and the success of the show, the way people mm-hmm. have responded to it and are coming up to me and going, "Jeez, we love the show and it's important and all this type." Mm. It's only getting to me now.
Really?
Of this side. Because when you're doing it,
yeah.
you have to be kind of fortified
yeah.
in order to keep doing it.
Sure.
You kind of have to be slightly mm-hmm. single-minded and just go, okay, next, okay, all right. And you keep going.
Yeah.
And it's funny, it was only this morning. I was sitting waiting to come in here and I saw all the kind of the RTE logo stuff around and I was thinking, I talked to all those people and they said amazing things to me and mm-hmm. there were amazing moments in those conversations. Mm-hmm. So that's only landing with me now.
Wow.
So that's
good.
I don't know.
Yeah. You've plenty more in you by the second.
Yeah,
of
but
it.
It's yeah, so we're due to come back in the winter. But yeah,
You've been so generous with your time this morning and I really appreciate it. So tell us about Tomfoolery Live at the Marquee. What are people to expect from Live at the Marquee show?
See, there'd be no point in doing it if we all
knew what to expect. Fair enough.
You might as well get sent a DVD in the post.
Fair enough. Yeah,
so I don't know. I'll be there.
Good. It's a start. Tommy, it's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. It really is. And I really do appreciate how generous you've been with your time. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Afric. Really, a real treat talking to you.
Good.
Thank you.
I'm glad because I was hitting myself earlier on. Sorry. Tommy Tiernan is back on stage in Cork. He brings his Tomfoolery show back to the Marquee for an extra date on June 15th due to demand. Tickets are from €35. They're on sale now from www.ticketmaster.ie. Tommy Tiernan, the legend. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.